from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. In the wake of Nelson Mandela's death, those who were involved in the fight to free him from prison and to divest from companies doing business in South Africa under apartheid are remembering that struggle. In 1979, Berkeley became the first city in the country to pass divestment legislation. In 1984, San Francisco longshoremen famously refused to unload South African cargo. Then came a nationwide wave of organizing at universities. New York University professor Pedro Noguera was student body president at UC Berkeley when thousands of students rallied, boycotted classes, and renamed Sproul Plaza Biko Plaza in an effort to get UC Regents to divest. Noguera says the unrest really took off in April of 1985.
They were not simply the usual rites of spring, right, that you often get on college campuses like Berkeley. It continued through the summer into the fall for the next 2 years and resulted in the University of California, the Regents, eventually voting to divest. And when they did, that was the largest disinvestment by any American university. So it was a major accomplishment.
Students protested across the UC system and the Cal State system and private schools like Stanford and USC. On the municipal front, L.A., San Francisco, and Oakland followed Berkeley's lead. Then, in August of 1986, then-Governor George Duke Majan signed a bill that enabled the state's enormous pension funds to divest. L.A. area Congresswoman Maxine Waters was a state assemblywoman at the time.
California played an important role because we have such big pension funds. And for California pension funds to invest in any business that was doing business in South Africa was big. We led on that.
Billions of dollars in divestment later, the apartheid regime in South Africa lifted its ban on black liberation parties and released political prisoners, including Nelson Mandela. After his release in 1990, he made an 8-city tour of the U.S., including stops in L.A. and Oakland. 58,000 people packed the Oakland Coliseum to hear him speak.
It is you, the people of Oakland, the people of the Bay Area, who have given me and my delegation strength and hope to go back and continue the struggle.
It would take a few more years before South Africa's blacks got to vote and elected Mandela the new democracy's first president. More than 1,000 social workers took to the picket lines in Los Angeles yesterday, the first strike against the county in more than a decade. Service Employees International Union Local 721 represents more than 3,500 social workers and their supervisors. But this labor action could spread because all SEIU members are being urged to respect picket lines. What's the beef? Pay and the size of their caseloads.
You are tired and you are not taking it no more. Say yeah!
KPCC's Rena Palta has more.
Delmi Madrigal has worked for LA's Department of Children and Family Services for 5 years. She says she's consistently seen social workers overwhelmed and overworked, trying to evaluate and help too many families at once.
We can't make the right decisions when we don't see our families enough, or when we're so overwhelmed by paperwork and all kinds of other things that cases involve.
In LA, social workers are responsible for more kids than in comparable cities. In Chicago and New York, social workers investigate about 9 cases a month. Here, it's 19.
I mean, we can't do it. We're not going to make the right decisions in that environment.
Social workers want the county to hire over 800 more workers in the next couple of years. The Department of Children and Family Services is in the process of adding 300 new hires. But LA Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky says a labor contract is not the place to hash out how many workers should be employed by the county, whether it's law enforcement, clerical staff, or social workers.
We can't be locked down and bound to a level of hiring through a collective bargaining agreement. What if we have another recession in the next 18 months?
Yaroslavsky says the county won't give up its power to manage staffing levels. In the meantime, administrators are filling in for striking social workers. For the California Report, I'm Rena Palta in Los Angeles.
The board that oversees California's high-speed rail authority has decided to reapply to sell $8.6 billion in state bonds. Even though a judge blocked the first attempt and ordered the agency back to the drawing board, rail officials meeting in Sacramento yesterday insisted the project is still on track. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow explains.
The high-speed rail authority frames things optimistically. They insist the rail project is in its construction phase, even though actual construction won't start until next year. And they characterize the recent court ruling blocking access to $8 billion of state bond money as a bump in the road. Even though California voters approved bond funding for the rail project in 2008, the authority needs to seek approval from a state finance committee overseeing the project before any bonds are sold. That's what Judge Michael Kenney refused to validate last week. Board Chair Dan Richard says that came down to a paperwork problem more than anything else. But critic Mike Brady says the hurdles are much steeper than rewriting applications and financial plans. Brady is the lead lawyer in a suit brought by a coalition of Central Valley rail opponents. He points out the project needs to find tens of billions of dollars in additional financing, and it's more than a decade away from its real goal. A fast route between the Bay Area and Los Angeles.
And what reasonable person is going to get on a high-speed train from Madera to Fresno or Madera to Bakersfield? What's the big deal? You want to get to L.A. County, and you want to get there from San Francisco or San Jose.
The lawsuit argues the current rail plan's cost and scope has ballooned far beyond what voters approved in 2008. The rail authority doesn't immediately need state bond money to begin construction in the Central Valley, because it's already secured $3 billion in federal funding. Richard says that money will last through next spring. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
And that's the California Report for Friday, December 6th, the production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Howard Gelman, Jim Bennett, and Seal Muller. The director is Guy Maserati. Our interns are Jenny Simone and Nicholas Arce. The editing staff includes Ingrid Becker, Polly Stryker, Julia McAvoy, Tyke Hendricks, and Victoria Malione. Nina Thorson is our producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment. Health happens in neighborhoods at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.